Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Susan, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, March 5th, 2026, and we are reading from the Big Book. In the chapter, There is a Solution. This morning, we are on page 23, the first full paragraph. These observations would be academic and pointless, ending with or become irritated and refuse to talk. Today's readers are Sherry M., who will read the text, Cara L., A Vision for You, and Shelley E. is our backup. Jody E. is our newcomer greeter, and Leslie M. will share announcements. The reference numbers for Wednesday, March 4th, 10 a.m. Eastern, is 23,259. And for Thursday, March 5th, 7 a.m. Eastern, is 23,261. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. As a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Rhonda R. in Tennessee to please read the 12 steps of OA for us. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, Susan, and everyone on the line. I'm a grateful member in Memphis, Tennessee. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service today.
Thank you, Rhonda. And I will now ask Beth F. in California to please read the 12 traditions of OA for us. Good morning, Beth.
Good morning. Thank you, Susan. This is Beth F., compulsive overeater in California. I'm grateful to be reading this morning. Thank you. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter There Is a Solution. We are on page 23, the first full paragraph, starting with these observations would be academic and pointless, ending with or become irritated and refuse to talk. I will now ask Sherry M. to start reading and sharing with us. Thank you, Sherry.
Yes, good morning. These observations would be academic and pointless if our friend never took the first bite. I'm sorry, excuse me, it says drink, thereby setting the terrible cycle in motion. Therefore, the main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than his body. If you ask him why he started on that last bender, the chances are he will offer you any one of 100 alibis. Sometimes these excuses have a certain plausibility, but none of them really make sense in the light of the havoc an alcoholic's drinking bout creates. They sound like the philosophy of the man who, having a headache, beats himself on the head with a hammer so that he can't feel the ache. If you draw this fallacious reasoning to the attention of an alcoholic, he will laugh it off or become irritated and refuse to talk. Good morning, everyone. My name is Sherry M. I'm gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And thank you, Susan, for leading Team Thursday for the month of March. This paragraph is so packed, and if you're new to Vision for You, welcome. We're going to be spending many more paragraphs convincing ourselves that we have this deadly disease, and we're just getting, we're like right in the middle, right? We have a whole other chapter after this, and excuse me, I have to be convinced, and so, you know, why do I have to be convinced in step one? Because in step two, they're going to ask me to try to find a power to restore me to sanity. And I need to believe that I am insane. And for me, this is a mental illness. It's telling me right here that my mind cannot help me. And that main problem centers in my mind, which immediately shows me that I do have a problem with my mind, which is the part of the disease. It's a threefold disease. And that I'm insane when it comes to this disease, because nobody else would say to themselves, you know, nobody, I don't think a normal person needs to throw away a bag of something in order not to eat it. And then I don't think a normal person remembers that it's in the trash can, an hour later goes into the trash can, pulls out food to eat it, and nothing that their brain is telling them, like, this is a bad idea, Sherry, don't do this. You shouldn't be eating out of the garbage. That's not enough. I have nothing in my brain that can stop me from pulling the food out of the garbage and eating it. That's who I am, and I need to know that. It doesn't make any sense, and I have had plenty of excuses. There's so many. Oh, I was abused as a child, and so that's why I went back to the food. Well, what this is telling me is that, somebody's beating themselves on a hammer so they don't feel the ache. And so why don't I just eat myself to death so that I can numb out the feelings and not feel anything and kill myself with food when something happened to me years ago? I mean, that just doesn't make any sense. Or when someone says, why don't you just have one, Sherry? Why don't you stop after one? And I know I can't stop, but yet I can't stop from starting. So that is the crux of my problem. I have a disease, and it's in my mind. My body is sick. My body is diseased. I have this disease. I cannot eat normally, but yet my brain keeps telling me over and over, and I have tons of experience with relapse and going back to the food after an amount of time, because to me, this is the crux of my problem. I have a brain that will never remember that I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing and will minimize it. And I think this is why this disease is such a spectrum disease. Yes, Overeaters Anonymous, we're using this big book to identify to a deadly disease, but there is something very special about the food program and the fact that it is a wide spectrum disease. So thank you so much. I can't wait to hear from everyone else. Have a blessed day.
Thank you, Sherry, so much. All right, before we continue, let me tell you where we are in case you came on midway. Sherry just read and talked about the first paragraph on page 23, starting with these observations would be academic, ending with become irritated and refuse to talk. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day, so that applies to both vision meetings, in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you would like to share today, if you could give me your first name, last initial, and where you are calling from, star one, and let's go.
Jen P.
Kara L.
Jen P. Kara L. Lisa
Gary
M.
W.
Carrie, and was there a Lisa?
Yes, Lisa N. in Georgia.
Thank you, Lisa.
Bessie O.
Thank you, Bessie in Colorado.
Jordan L.
Thank you, Jordan. Anyone else like to join this first group? All right, I have Jen P, Kara L, Kerry W, Lisa N, Bessie O, and Jordan L. Jen P in New Jersey, take it away. Jennifer?
I'm sorry, there I am. I was muted.
Okay, go.
All right. Hi, everybody. Jennifer P. from New Jersey. I'm so sorry. Glad to be here and take a seat in the center of the group, as my sponsor says. I'll just be brief to say that for me, this main line is the problem centers mostly in his mind or my mind. And that is certainly the problem because I've certainly dieted before in my life, gotten down to a good size, good weight, and felt good, but that wasn't the problem. The problem is I could do that if I never take the first bite of an alcoholic food. That's okay. But the problem is that I have to treat my mind. And so today, so many years later, I feel grateful that while I am changing my body's being changed. More kind of just as important as my mind is being changed. And I'm learning to live a different life. I'm learning to be sane and useful. I'm learning those promises thanks to being, with recovered people, with people who are showing me the solution. And I'll just also say that, the thinking drove me to the drinking. And for me, it's eating, compulsive overeating. But it's my thinking that had to be changed, not going to a diet for a certain amount of time. So that's where the steps come in. If I only put the food down, it's not enough. I have to put the food down and work the steps. And today I'm so grateful because at the end of this paragraph it says, if we talk to somebody about this and kind of question their reasoning, they'll say no, like laugh at us or mock us. But today I know the truth because I have wonderful people in my life who point that out to me in this program. So for that, I will pass, and I'm super grateful to be here. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Next, we have Kara L. in California. Good morning, Kara.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from California. I really love this. If I never took the first bite, right? And yeah, I mean, I always joke that, like, I do know the difference between vegetable and dessert. I know that difference. I do know what's healthy and what's not healthy. I mean, I was an expert on, you know, food plans and diets and all sorts of things. It's not the knowledge, right? Because it says right here, the main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than his body, right? And I could have, my mind is very quick and adept. Well, yes, it's very quick and adept, and my disease uses my mind to let me know that I can do things that I can't do. You know, that I can have things that are not going to work for my body, but my mind can give me lots of different reasons why it works. So what do I have to do, right? I have to say to a power greater than myself, I don't know what I'm doing. Please help. Give me intuitive thought, inspiration, and decision. I can't rely on my own mind. Because I can't tell you sometimes why I did something, or I can have perfectly logical reasons why I did something. That's me. That's self. When I'm in my higher power's will, things just happen to work out, right? So today, what do I have to do? Well, I have to realize that I don't know everything. I might think I know everything, but I go into a situation always thinking I'm right. And so what's recovery today? Taking a step back, taking the breath and saying, I don't know what's best. I need help. God, please just put in front of me today everything you need me to do to be of service. And then I need to ask throughout the day. I need to invite my higher power in. I need to say, you know, what do you think? Please help me here. Give me intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision. And the more I do that, the less I think I have really great ideas. And I know that my life is easier and better and more neutral today. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Cara L. in California. Next, we are going to San Diego in California to Carrie W. Good morning, Carrie.
Carrie W. in San Diego, California. Good morning. Oh boy, I just had this demonstrated so clearly to me on my last relapse when I went to, I was in Paris, and I was like, well, my brain started talking to me and said, you're in Paris, you have to have this, you know, and then it kept working on me, and then once I started down that, you know, had that first bite, that terrible cycle was set in motion. And then I'm like, well, you have to try this, and then you got to try that, and try this. And therefore, you know, I came home 15 pounds heavier and was in the food again. And it's that horrible, that mind that gets so obsessed with the food is such a horrible place for me to be. And once now I've decided I'm joining that, you know, don't take a bite no matter what club that I hear about, because I think that's a lot better place to be. And there's no reason that I needed to go down that road. You know, I can travel and have a much better time not being obsessed with food the whole time. You know, I want to see the scenery and go do some fun things, you know, and I don't want to be thinking about that craziness all the time. So these excuses, as they say, have a certain plausibility, but it doesn't make sense in the light of the havoc, you know, about all the way I became so obsessed and only could think about food when I was in traveling, and, you know, the the health consequences and how dark I start to feel. You know, why would I do that? So it's a good reminder that I just don't take that first bite. And thank you for all your shares today, and thank you for your service. And I think I'll go because my puppy's starting to squeak a toy. All right.
Thank you, Carrie. Thank you. Next, we have Lisa N. in Georgia. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Susan. It's Lisa N., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. Very grateful to be on the line today. So I love the hope of this paragraph. You know, for so long, I was like, what is wrong with me? You know, what is wrong with me? Why am I doing this to myself? And I would look at other people who seemed like, you know, normal eaters or whatever. And I was like, what is wrong with me? Well, the hope of the paragraph is it's telling me I have an illness, first of all, you know, so, and it's telling me that my main problem is in my mind. And I'm so, so grateful today that when I got entirely abstinent, which was the first part for me, I had to get that stuff that was just leading me back to the food every single time. I had to get that stuff out of my body. And then, you know, I've heard it say, like, you know, higher power comes in and washes our brains. You know, I needed that. And my experience with this paragraph is the middle part is what I'm just going to focus on. It's so clear to me, you know, I mean, everybody's had stuff in their lives. Yes, I've had childhood abuse, you know, lots of problems with our young son over the past 5 years, you know, and doesn't it look like a good excuse to go and eat? Oh, sure. Oh, gosh, you're in pain. Yeah, go eat yourself to death? No. I mean, look at that. Like, yeah, that... Yeah, this is my experience only, but the part where it says the man who has a headache beats himself on the head so he can't feel the ache. My experience was I'm sad, I'm depressed, eating makes me feel worse. Let me do it some more? What? You know, so I'm so grateful that that is not, it's not a coping mechanism today. It's not even an option, you know? I'm just really grateful to be here today. Thanks, I pass.
Thank you, Lisa, so much. Next, we have Bessie O. in Colorado. Good morning, Bessie.
Good morning. This is Bessie O. from Colorado, recovered compulsive overeater. And recently, the person that I share my nightly reviews with just brought up this concept of you know, praying for the opposite, you know, what is the opposite? And when I think about like the opposite of relapse, because this story or this paragraph just reminds me of my own story, which includes relapse. And it's like the opposite of relapse is connection. And you can all, like, I tried substituting that for just about anything. Opposite of selfishness, connection. Opposite of fear, connection. And so because this describes like the cycle. And for me, the cycle is just, you know, a little bit of isolation. Then I start, there's justification. So then it's like, well, of course, I have every right to feel this way. And then once that separation and the light of my higher power, God, is blocked, and you know that feeling is unbearable, and then the only thing I can do is eat, and it's also just so nice having this paragraph because when you work with others, it's like okay, let's read about this because no one, you know, it says you'll laugh it off or become irritated because no one wants to hear when they've just been through something awful and they've eaten. Like it just doesn't make sense and it's just not justified. But that's why it's so nice having a text that just outlines it. Like there is no way that my God who loves me so much would ever want me to eat in response to whatever is going on in my environment. Like, it just absolutely doesn't make sense. It's never what it just doesn't make sense. I guess that's all I can say. But I think this is like, this to me is like the relapse paragraph, you know. I'm very grateful for it, and I'm very grateful for my recovery where I am today, because having experienced relapse makes me useful and uniquely useful. And for that, I'm really grateful. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Bessie. Next, we have Jordan L., also in Colorado.
Hey, good morning, Susan. Thanks for moderating this morning. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. We've gone through the doctor's opinion. We've gone through Bill's story. Both chapters talk extensively about this phenomenon of craving, this physiological reaction that I have to certain foods, my alcoholic foods, right? They're foods, I react the same way to them that an alcoholic reacts to alcohol. And so we've talked a lot about the body, what it is that, like, these foods do to my body when I ingest them, and what it means to be a real compulsive overeater, differentiating between a moderate eater, a heavy eater, and the real compulsive overeater. And now it's kind of like, this is the first time that we're starting to talk about this obsession, the mental aspect of this disease. We have a twofold disease, and this is the mental aspect of it. It's telling us right here, this is the greater aspect. This is the more important bit to pay attention to, because the phenomenon of craving really doesn't matter if I don't ingest food, you know, or if I don't ingest my alcoholic foods. So what's really important is that as a real compulsive overeater, I have this mind that goes back to this idea over and over and over again that somehow it's going to be different this time, or I can beat the game, or I can make it work, or I can have just one, or whatever the excuse is. This is one of my favorite metaphors in the book, the hammer beating myself on the head with a hammer, because it fits compulsive overeating so well. I would eat and I would get bigger and bigger, and I would feel so much shame and pain from all this extra weight I was carrying, physically and mentally. And what was my answer to that? I would eat more. And it was just this terrible, terrible cycle, like it's describing, that I would get caught up in, where I'm eating and I'm in pain because I'm eating so much. And what is the answer? I go ahead and eat more, and over and over and over again, I do this to myself until I'm, you know, over 100 pounds overweight, and living in a body that is like physically painful to deal with on a daily basis. I can't do any of the things that I love to do outdoors in Colorado. And I'm suffering, you know. So hopefully everyone on the line this morning, the food is convincing them of the mental aspect being the greater aspect of our disease. And I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Jordan. All right, before I take the next round of names, again, today's paragraph is on page 23, the first paragraph, starting with "these observations would be academic," ending with "or become irritated and refuse to talk." So if this is your third day to share, please star one, unmute. I'd love to hear your first name, last initial, and where you are calling from.
Freya H. Okay. Judy, Colorado.
Freya, Judy, California. I heard you, Judy. Thank you.
Rebecca M., California.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Nancy L.J., California.
Thank you, Nancy. Anyone else? Probably have time for a couple more. All right, well, we'll pause there so as not to waste. Oh, sorry, who's that?
Asia A from California.
Thank you, Asia. All right, Colorado and California coming in hot today. I have Freya H, Judy I, Rebecca M, Nancy LJ, and Asia A. Freya, over to you, and if everyone else could mute their lines. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. I'm unmuted. It's Freya.
Yes, you are.
Okay, great. Good morning, everybody. Freya H, very grateful, recovered, compulsive eater, bulimic restrictor in Colorado. Great shares. I came in a little late, so I missed the very first ones, but heard some really good ones. And I feel like this is one of the best kept secrets in the 12-step. In the 12-step rooms is this really understanding that the mental obsession. And I think I like the term mental blank spot, because obsession, people can interpret that, oh yeah, I'm just obsessed with food. But my understanding of the mental obsession is that it's this blank spot of like this forgetting, where I am going to, like it's described here, that I am not going to be able to tell whether, you know, like I can't count on my brain to remember all of the, it can't count on my brain to remember about the physical allergy. And therefore it really cements my powerlessness. It's like the nail in the coffin of like, oh, that's why I'm powerless. I'm not powerless because of the physical allergy. That's, you know, an interesting phenomenon, but I'm really powerless because I cannot rely on my brain and my reasoning and my experience to keep me away from that, you know, from the things that cause me harm, you know, the things I'm addicted to. So imagine that I could, you know, stay away from my alcoholic foods. What would be the result? I would be white knuckling, and would I live happily ever after? And my experience says no. It says that actually I would become restless, irritable, and discontented. And so that really drives me to understand why the solution is spiritual, why I need the rest of the steps, because I have an untreated condition. And this paragraph is where we transition from, you know, where this, the book spends so much time and energy really trying to get us to understand the disease. And this is where we transition from, yes, we have a physical allergy, and we have this mental blank spot that accompanies it. And when I really grasped that, then I was really motivated to do the steps, because it can be very easy to just think, well, I'm abstinent and my life is going well, and I, you know, I feel pretty good, and, you know, relationships are going pretty well. It's like I can lose my motivation to go through with all of these ego deflating, you know, time consuming, you know, steps that require a lot of work. But when I get the powerlessness, the depth of my powerlessness, then yes, I'm willing to do this stuff, and I'm willing to do it. I hate to hear myself say this, but
that's time.
As if my life, thank you, as if my life depends on it, because the quality of my life definitely does depend on it. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Freya H. in Colorado. Next, we have Judy I. in California. Go ahead, Judy.
Good morning. This is Judy, covering in Petaluma, California. This paragraph, I love how somebody said it's like the relapse paragraph. It totally describes that process. And it is. It's totally insane how you can get the thought in your head and suddenly you're banging your head against the hammer instead of, you know, like writing or, you know, doing something to take care of yourself instead of doing something to make yourself feel bad. I mean, this is just, say, this paragraph is incredible. And I haven't gotten to it yet, 20-step work, because I'm still the beginning of step two. But I am really relating to it this morning and to the shares, and so grateful to be here. Thank you for everyone sharing your recovery.
Thank you, Judy. Next, we have Rebecca M. in California. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you all for being here and thank you for your service. This is Rebecca M. from California. I'm new to the meeting. I've been listening for two weeks now, and I am just so over the moon and excited about being part of this fellowship now, because I was so close to giving up until I found this meeting. I wasn't hearing the message in other meetings, and my disease was convincing me that I was apart from, not a part of. And with listening to these meetings, I feel a part of, which is so special. And I got a new sponsor that I'm being honest with. I think that's so important, because I was lying and I was afraid of my sponsor. I was really scared of her. And I'm just so glad that I found somebody that is part of Vision for You. And just listening this morning to the reading of, like, hitting myself over the head with, banging myself over the head with anything, that it makes sense to me, like, because I would feel these emotions of guilt or shame as a result of eating the alcoholic foods, and then I would double down on that, like double arrow, like hitting the arrow twice, you know, and just, like, really just carry that on for the whole day. And I just now realize that I don't have to do that anymore. Like, this may be hard, this program may be hard, but it's definitely not as hard as what I was trying to do with control and fasting and overeating and all sorts of obsessive compulsive behaviors. And so I'm just really happy to be here. I'm really proud that I've shared, and, you know, I'm just really glad in this fellowship, and I'm just going to keep coming back, because the more I listen, the more I'm starting to connect. And I loved what that other speaker said about connection. This is really all about connection. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Rebecca, and we look forward to hearing more from you. Next, we have Nancy L.J. in California.
Good morning. Thank you. Great shares. I don't really have a lot new to add. I'm just so grateful to be living in the solution today. I just think back of what before program, before I had the work or compulsive eating, or, you know, I didn't have any tools, any, you know. And honestly, I don't think I was even that curious. I was just so in hopelessness, you know. But I can remember dieting, you know. I could diet. I could diet like a mofo, you know. Not anymore, but I could diet for months. I think I even was on like a year and a half once, and I lost a ton of weight. Eating almost like quote and unquote perfection. And I remember, you know, going off the diet, it's almost, I couldn't help myself. Like, I knew in my heart, I knew, you know, oh, people would say, oh, just have this, you could have a little bit. And I would just kind of smile and say, oh, I better not. And then it would just start coming, you know, the wave of, you got to have it, you got to have it, you got to have it. And I knew, and it didn't matter how much weight I'd lost, didn't matter how quote and unquote good I've done, or how much quote I better I feel. I couldn't help myself. I was a slave to it. And I made a little bullet point here in the book. It says, one of my excuses, good for 6 months, so I deserve to eat. That's an old thought. And then I must have it because it's free. You know, people would bring food into work. You know, I got to have it. I will have it and start tomorrow. I'll be perfect tomorrow. I'll have this today and I'll be perfect tomorrow. All those lies. And I'm just so grateful that I'm not beating myself over the head with a hammer anymore. I'm certainly not working a perfect program, but I am not perfect. I am far from it. And Yeah, so that's it. I'm just grateful. Thank you all, and looking forward to the other shares in my path.
Thank you so much, Nancy. Next, we have Asia A in California. Good morning. Asia,
hi, good morning.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm here. It took a while, sorry. I'm from California, Hezja A. Thank you so much for the shares. I'm very grateful to be here today. I am hitting myself with the hammer right now. So it's a perfect morning for me, perfect time to be hearing so much that I can relate it to, you know, the mental obsession, the me isolation, and then justification, you know, me not to want to connect or not to talk, and just, you know, it's the opposite, because then it's putting me on the relapse and the fear. Yeah, there's a lot, and there's a big vacation going on, and I do not want to go on the vacation as we're already on the relapse, and it's just fear over fear. But anyhow, I just don't want to talk out loud.
Asia, are you still there?
And I will pass.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. Thanks.
Okay. We have time for maybe two more shares. Anybody else? Probably two shares.
Tamika, California.
Who was that?
Tamika from California.
Tamika, thank you, Tamika. Anybody else like to join Tamika? Luann, okay, we will stop there, and if there's time, we will take another name. Go ahead, Tamika, followed by Luann. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm Tamika. I'm recovering. I like how you. What?
Mom,
I like
you. Please mute yourselves. Thank you. Go ahead, Tamika.
Thank you. I like when I hear fellows say recovered. That really inspires me, gets me excited, recovered. I've been dealing with this disease for 100 years, it seems like. However, I'm in my 50s, but it's been 100 years. this disease is heartbreaking, dude. It's just freaking terrible. So that reading is so dynamic. It's so me because, you know, I've gotten some relief here. It's been a couple of weeks. I'm not really sure of the day. Oh, okay. It's the 2nd of February, I think. Yeah. Is when I started, I got some abstinence. And it's not my first round the track. Got some relief, doing step work with my sponsor, making calls. I start feeling better. Then I start gradually not doing the things that got me abstinent. And so for me, the last thing to go when I'm in the food is the nighttime eating. So where's the hammer? What does that look like for me today? The nighttime eating is the desire to eat at night is starting to come back. What's changed? I'm not attending as many meetings. I have not been communicating with my sponsor. I'm not doing my step work. So that is how I hit myself over the head with the hammer. And then the headache starts, which is the food, right? So what's the point? I'm just happy I'm here. I'm happy I'm even willing to be here with you guys. I mean, I've thrown away the literature, the books, the AA books, the 12 steps. I've thrown those books away 50 times. The numbers are exaggerated, of course. But I've thrown the books away and sworn off and said I'll never see you guys again. But honestly, this is the one thing that helps me to experience relief from this disease. So thank you for giving me a place to go to with this disease. And, you know, I've been on the meetings for a while and just not even sharing, which is not like me. I'm in multiple 12-step rooms, and I'm the first person to raise my hand to share. But here I have not been sharing. And I'm just observing myself, like, what's going on? What's that about? And, yeah, I think it's just me hiding out and not really wanting to. If I'm visible, people get to know me, And if you get to know me, I'm held accountable potentially, right? So it's, yeah, another, I guess that's another form of the hammer. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much, guys. Take care.
Thank you so much, Tamika. Next, we have Luann C. in Boise, Idaho. Go ahead, Luann.
Thank you, Susan. Good morning, everyone. I'm Luann C. I'm really grateful to be recovered in Boise, Idaho today. And, you know, I'm just thinking that for me, why would I take the bite when I know what's going to happen? Because for me, what was going to happen, the shame, the hopelessness, the self-loathing, the powerlessness, that darkness, it was predictable. At least I knew what that felt like, and I knew the outcome, and I knew it was going to run its course, and if it was 2 years later, I was going to surface again. So that felt like something predictable in a world that is unpredictable, or a relationship that was unpredictable. And so I would go there and just, you know, just be a prisoner of that cycle. But, you know, with just a tiny amount of courage, just enough to trust somebody to go through the process of the 12 steps, this new place that I've been placed in, you know, my predictability comes, I know the work to do every day. I know that there's a meeting. I know that there is, you know, an answer that I can face life by using, you know, this power that I've been granted access to. And now when I'm agitated, I don't look for the comfort of the old ways. I go, oh, I need to go sit with God. And that is a complete sea change for me, that I'm going to God for my comfort and my predictability and my assurance and my confidence now. And that is totally different for this, you know, lifelong atheist. So I'm just very grateful, and they're just, you know, found hope here, found hope in a new way of life. I couldn't even conceive of this life before. So thank you for letting me share. I pass.
There we go. Here I am. Sorry. Wonderful meeting. Thank you, everybody, for their service. Our new team is Sherry M., Cara L., Shelley E., Rhonda R., Beth F. Please stay on with Jody E. and Leslie M., especially if you need a sponsor or you are an available sponsor. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Cara L., will you please read a vision for you for us? Thank you so much.
Thank you, Susan. This is Kara L., Recovered Compulsive Reader. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.